You know, if anybody doesn't think we don't need to pray, just turn the news on and look at what, you know, people are thinking they need to do. You know, what's interesting now is that, you know, of course, the world embraces things of the flesh. But now there seems to be this thinking that we can promote, you know, just like alcohol and all of this. Now it seems that they want to promote drugs for money, for the benefit of the government. So they've taken their eyes off God and looked to man to support. And we need, that's why I say we need to pray for these leaders. We understand their minds are darkened by the one who is darkness. We understand that. But we need to pray, and we don't need to take sides. But we all need to hook our faith up, because when there's unity, then the devil's got no place. And when we pray for these leaders, you know, I believe that when the light bulb goes on, they'll probably all go, what the heck was I thinking? What was I doing? Why did I do that? You know, and so we need to just pray, not criticize them, because they don't know either. You think about your own self, some of the dumb stuff we did when we were in darkness. My God. So, you know, we're all we're in the same boat, but thank God for Jesus, and thank God that the Holy Spirit can pray through us. That'll help the leaders in this country and locally, you know? Because they're all struggling too, you know? I mean, they're human flesh just like you and me, and when they have to be making laws, you know, you think about it. You just think about your own home. You can't please everybody. Now you just try to please millions of people. And all the people that are complaining and grumbling, why aren't you doing this for us and this and that and the other, they need to have wisdom to know what to do, and godly wisdom. And so, you know every president, I don't know how far back, would approach Billy Graham for prayer. Please help me. Pray for me. Right? The weight of choices and decisions that have to be made, is it weighs upon them. And so we need to pray for them. And we shared that when we met yesterday. We met with the town principals here in this area. We told the supervisor after the meeting, we said, look, we just want to let you know we pray for you. And he said, thank you, we need it. Thank you. And so we let him know, look, you know, we're here to discuss business with them, but we let him know, you know, of course, he was more spiritual and is more spiritual than the rest of them there probably, but he just said, thank you very much for praying for us. Continue to pray for us. And said, we do. So, Galatians chapter 5. Wanted to look at this here and in light of faithfulness. Now, again, we're talking about faithfulness to God's plan, but I wanted to just look at this in when it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And starting in verse 13, it says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. I'm reading from the King James. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, see, but by love serve one another. Is what we just got. I wasn't thinking about this, but this is just exactly what we're talking about here. Don't be self-serving with your liberty, but serve one another. Pray for one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. See, this is what we talk about. Go out and look at Facebook. People, the Christians, biting and gnawing on each other over stuff, right? Don't do that. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I wanted to focus on these in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And that word faith there, in most of the other translations, it really is the word faithful. Faithfulness actually is what it says. So you can see in this, as we've said, this Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it just means to have trust or confidence and conviction. And it also means fidelity, faithfulness, the character of one who can be relied on. So it just means that you're faithful. And this quality is in us, how? By the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. This word also, fidelity, is another word that this Greek word is used for faith. Fidelity is also, the definition is the quality or state of being faithful. That's good. So when they say a person has fidelity, it means that they have the quality or state of being faithful. It means accuracy in details. It means exactness, patterned after something. Oh, that's pretty good. So this word here for faith means faithfulness or fidelity. Can mean that. Listen to some of these other translations here, which I think are insightful. The New Living Translation, it says, this is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the influence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. That's what's causing the fruit. It's the fruit in our lives by His influence. Says the New Living Translation, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. In other words, He will have an influence in our lives. The Amplified, it says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. So His presence in us affects us or causes us to be a certain way, right? What is it? What is John 15? It says, Stay connected to the vine. The vine cannot bear fruit of itself. So it said, unless it stays connected to the vine. So the life of the vine, this character, these characteristics come about in our lives through the Holy Ghost, through being connected to the vine, right? Which is, if God is faithful, which is what it says, 1 Corinthians, and I'm staying connected to him through his word and his spirit, then his nature is going to be in me, right? Which is what? Faithfulness, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, right? So by me being in Christ, his nature is going to shine through in me, isn't it? We all know that. But it's the influence of the Spirit of God. It's not the, you know, sometimes people say it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's his influence. It's the fruit emanated in our lives, but it's his influence in our lives is causing this fruit in our lives or those characteristics in our lives. The easy-to-read version says, the fruit that the Spirit produces in a person's life. See? His influence on our spirit, in our lives, is causing that. The Passion Translation, it says, the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Right? Peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they're meant to be limitless. So if we live in the Spirit, this is verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, then let us do what? Walk in the Spirit. You have to let him do the work in you. You've got to yield. You've got to walk in the Spirit. I like this in God's Word translation. It says, if we live by our spiritual nature. See, I like this better. If we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. That's good, isn't it? In other words, if we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to reflect that. See, if we say we live by our spiritual nature, then that's what this is saying. Then our lives need to conform to it. Right? The Weymouth New Translation says, if we are living by the Spirit's power, let our conduct also be governed by the Spirit's power. See, let him influence you. See, and this was something that when I started looking at this, I said, well, we just got done going through some lessons on being strengthened with might, right? So when you look at those scripture verses, see, when the inner man is weak, then he's able to not control who? The outer man. So when the inner man's weak, if he's not letting the influence of the Holy Ghost there control, then the outer man takes control. The flesh takes control. Even though the person may not want to, if his spirit is weak, then the outer man has the ascendancy, takes control. Right? So when your spirit's strong, then you yield easier to the Holy Ghost. You'll let him influence you, how you act, how you talk, how you respond to certain things. You'll let his influence have sway in you, as we could say. You know, you'll yield to him and his influence, right? Because without it, you can't love people like God loves. You can't have patience You know, we say, well, they had the patience of Job or the patience of God. You can't have that kind of patience without the Spirit of God's influence. You cannot. You cannot have faithfulness without, because all of us in the flesh, we get tired. Your flesh gets tired. You may get weary in well-doing. The Lord says, don't get weary in well-doing because you'll reap if you faint not. But you could get weary, right? But if it's not for the Holy Ghost to strengthen you, you'll quit. You will not have the patience to endure. You just won't. You'll give up. And it's going to take the influence of the Holy Ghost. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have His influence strengthening you so that these characteristics will come to bear, right, in your life. Has to. And we all may go through things in life, but it's going to be His strength and His nature that's going to shine through. It's going to have to be Him strengthening our spirit, man. Has to be. Think about this scripture, 2 Peter 1:3, according as His what? Divine power, His dunamis power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, Zoe life, and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. This is the power of the Word of God, right? That by these you might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. What divine nature? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. This divine nature, these characteristics, how? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through the flesh. So we this characteristic, when we talk about faithfulness, you know, some will say, well, how can I be more faithful? That you're going to be that by doing what? Embracing the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, and letting the influence of the Holy Spirit influence you. You've got to yield to Him. Otherwise, we can't be faithful. We'll be unfaithful or just unreliable. Now, I'm convinced of this. You know, I would say that if you grew up in a house where you had examples in front of you that were faithful, I think those qualities get imparted into the children. But that still, you could have children that could have been exposed to those qualities and still be nutcases, still go off and not be faithful. So, regardless of what kind of examples, I'm just saying that if you had those examples in your house, that those qualities were imparted into you as an individual, but it's still no guarantee because you are still going to have to yield to God's influence in your life to be faithful. You have to. I remember how many remember Brother Hagin? You know, I mean, some of you remember some of his stories, but I remember one story he told about how he said the Lord instructed him to leave this last church he was pastoring and go out on the field ministry and be more of what you would call just a traveling minister. And he did, and he said, you know, I got comfortable being a pastor. He said, you know, people would bring food, they'd bring things, and they would just cover things that you needed. You know, in these churches, you know, people would see you have a need, they'd bring groceries, or they'd bring some pies or desserts or whatever. And he said, you didn't really even have to think about, he said, it just people were just good, you know. And he said, then God said, leave the church and go out on the field. Well, I didn't have that. He said, I didn't have access to that. I didn't have a salary. I didn't have anything. Now I got to trust God. And he said, it was like every devil in hell was let loose and confronted me. And he said, my family was struggling. He said, we didn't have the proper food. We didn't have the proper clothing. He said, we were behind in our rent. I'm driving this beat-up car with ball tires. And he's beginning to whine to God and say, look, he said, this is not right. Something's wrong. I'm missing it somewhere here. Because I was handled, he said, I was in better shape before. And I know you told me to do this. So he said, you're missing it. He said, what do you mean you're missing it? He said, you know, he said, you preach a good game, but you're not living what you're preaching. And he said, it was a low blow. And he said, what does the scripture say? He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, you were obedient, but you weren't willing. He said, I got willing real quick. That's what he said. I got willing real quick. He said, I made a little adjustment inside my heart. And he said, boom. He said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Bring it on. And he said, and he did. He said that after that, things changed. So it wasn't that, you know, so again, the Holy Ghost had to show him something. He said, look, you need to change something about your character. He wasn't willing on the inside. So some character of his needed to be tweaked a little bit, right? And when it was, the blessings of God began to flow. So in all of us, you know, we need the Holy Ghost's help because this flesh gets in the way sometimes, right? I don't want to do that. I don't like that. Why do I have to do that? You know, all of the kind of things that your mind runs up and down. Why am I doing that? Why do I have to do that? I don't want to do that. You know, all of that stuff that we go through. And so if we don't have the Spirit of God to reveal some things to us, and that's why it says we have these great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's all of the things that we just got done reading, which were the fruit of the Spirit. I say amen to that. Now let's look at a scripture. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1 and look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. See, I'm more convinced of this than ever. You know, Pastor Greg shared this and has shared it a few times. He said he learned this in management when he was working for a company. They sent him through some management courses. Now, we're talking natural, but there is a spiritual application here. He said, when I went through these courses, they taught us two things. He said, when you're dealing, and he's talking about being a manager and employees, he said, whenever you're dealing with an employee, it's either one of two things. It's either a skill deficiency or it's an attitude problem. And he said, you can train against a skill deficiency, but you cannot train against an attitude problem. And I said, oh yeah. That's so true. So there's got to be, when there's an attitude issue, the individual's got to make the adjustment. You can't make that for them. And so it's the same thing where spiritual things are concerned. If we got an attitude, or as they say, if you got a tood, you need the Holy Ghost's help to fix the tood, the attitude. Right? I'm serious. Now, and again, the attitude may not be something, you know, just bad, but it just may be something you don't even realize that's hindering something in your spiritual growth. Because all of us, the Holy Ghost will speak to us and say, no, don't do that anymore. Because we grow spiritually, and what, you know, God is a good God, isn't he? He doesn't ask us to do things that he already knows you're not spiritually mature enough to walk in that yet. So he cleanses us from things that we do until it's revealed to us. Don't do that anymore. You don't make a little child do things until you know they're old enough to do it, right? You begin to train them. But even little children, you know, you do it, right? You cover it. And then when they get old enough, you say, no, you do that. You do that now. You understand English now. You understand mommy and daddy's command. Now you do it. And I believe God's the same way. He knows we're spiritually immature in things. And when we start to grow, he reveals it and says, now you're old enough to understand. Stop doing that. Right? Isn't that true? See, we're responsible for the things that he reveals to us in his word. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. What does the next verse say? Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto what? All patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Doesn't that sound like the fruit of the Spirit in some ways, right? So how are you able to have patience, long-suffering with joyfulness? Being strengthened with all might. And in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father with that which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Some of these other translations, it just says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I like the God's Word translation. It says, we ask him to strengthen you by his glorious might with all the power you need to patiently endure everything with joy. See? And that's really what we got done reading in Galatians in verse 22. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we're going to need to be, as I say here, we're going to need to be strengthened by his Spirit in our inner man. And the same thing in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Hallelujah. So this fruit of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, contrasted against the works of the flesh, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness. Now, let me just read a sentence or two, because I look at Rick Renner's book, Sparkling Gems, just to see if he highlights a particular Greek word to provide a little more insight. And this is what he shared. He said, in this verse, we're talking about verse 22 of Galatians 5. He said, in this verse, it conveys the idea of a person who is faithful, reliable, loyal, and steadfast. He says, it pictures a person who is devoted, trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, and unwavering. He said, this is contrary to the flesh, which seeks to be lazy, uncommitted, undependable, and completely unreliable. So you can see in society, the further people get away from God, the things of God, the more unfaithful they become. I mean, you just think about this. Think about back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even when I was growing up, watching sports, baseball, basketball. I loved to watch, you know, certain teams when I was growing up, the Knicks and some of the other teams, the Utah team. And when I look at them and I said, these players would play a lifetime with the team. So would your baseball players. They were faithful to a team. Forget that now. That ain't going on. It ain't happening. Neither are employees. I had employees working for me when I worked for the, you know, corporate America. They get a headhunter working for them. They come in, you get a job, and the next thing, they're there 2 months, and they're getting calls all day long. Hey, got another job, got a better job, got more money. And so they're not faithful. Not faithful to anything, right? Because what is it? It's selfishness, it's money, it's me, it's mine, right? And so all along, those individuals ain't even there long enough to be even looked at and considered for a promotion, because they be gone. And they don't even know that, hey, somebody above them may be looking at them and going, hey, this person's really good, let me keep an eye on them. Gone, right? That's what's going on today. And a lot of that is because it's flesh. Not spiritual, it's just flesh, carnal flesh, moving further away from God. Further and further away from God. People are not even, if God said, go work for this company, I want to use you here, right? I want you to be an influence in this company. And they're like, I ain't going there. I ain't, no. Right? But that's where we are today in society, and we need to be a candle, a light, set upon a hill, so that they can see the nature and character of God through who? Us, the body of Christ. And that's the key. That the Christians today need to be a light set upon a hill. When you look at this word good, when it talks about goodness, and I'm not going to talk about that, but just think about Acts 10:38. It got me to thinking about this. Jesus was what? Anointed of the Holy Ghost. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So this word good, actually Rick Renner discussed, I'm not going to go into that here, but he said this implied that Jesus did things that were good in the natural realm to people. He fed them, he helped them, he had money, he had people that supported them, and he had Judas who had the bag. So it implies, he said the Greek word there that's used for good in Acts 10:38 implies that he did natural things to help people. That's what that, he said, that's what that Greek word is used there for. So we need to not so much think about how much we're deficient in something, but look more to the Holy Ghost to help us. And say, look, I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to be more peaceful. I'm going to be more joyful. I'm going to be this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to let you, Holy Ghost, work in me. Amen. Let's take a quick look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at this in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul talking about Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Paul writing to Timothy here. And verse 1 in chapter 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son," he's writing to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" who? "Faithful men." So Paul is there giving some instructions to Timothy that these things that you've learned, commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So you can see here that when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he actually told him, you can see here, how to choose leaders. He told him. He said, "Here, these are the qualities that I want you to look for in leaders," right? And he did what? He said, "Choose" who? "Faithful men." He didn't just say, "Choose anybody." He said, "Choose faithful men." And so this lets us know that this quality is mandatory, right? This is what he said. It's mandatory fruit of the Spirit to be found in leaders. I mean, if it's something that is required of us, then why wouldn't it be in leaders? So he's saying, look, this is the quality I want you to look for in those that you choose to go and teach others. They need to be, and as he said it, think about what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So you really could translate this and say, it is required that a man be found devoted, trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, and unwavering. So if a person is found faithful, what does that mean? They're dependable, they're reliable, they can be counted on. You don't even have to think about it. I know that they've got my back. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm not having to check up on them. Are you doing what you're... That doesn't even enter your mind. You know, you think about that. If you were a leader and you had people that you gave instructions to go do something, how would you feel if you had in your mind, "Yeah, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder if they're going to carry this out." That's like having a broken foot. So, you know, when we choose leaders, that's what this is saying here, make sure, Paul is saying, commit these things that you've learned to faithful men. So the nature and character of God, we know from Scripture, is what? It's unchanging. It's constant. He doesn't change. He's without variableness, a shadow of turning. He's stable. He doesn't waver. So it shouldn't surprise us that the Holy Ghost, right, if he's allowed to work in us, would also create in us the very nature of God. It's his Spirit. So God is faithful, therefore we should expect faithfulness to grow in our lives as one of the fruit of the Spirit. If God is faithful, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ that live in me, and he's God, then I should expect that his nature is reflected in me, right? And it's got to be by the influence of the Holy Ghost. We've got to yield to him to influence our spirit, influence our actions. And it's by these great and precious promises that we're going to be partakers of his nature, his divine nature. Amen. So it's feeding on the word, feeding on the word, feeding on the word, confessing the word, speaking the word, and we'll get there. We'll grow little by little by little. And then what happens is God will give us opportunities to do things. He going to check it out and see if your actions measure up to your words. Right? He going to say, okay, here you go. Here's a job for you to do. See how you do. Right? Amen. I believe, you know, that God is working in the midst of us. We may have arrived a certain place, but there's more to grow in. More to grow in the things of God. Amen. Amen. But we got to let Him have His way in us. Amen.